Welcome to Stay Right.
Address the nation. There's going to be a lot of frightened people out there.
Fear does not exist in this dojo.
A historic and unprecedented event is occurring.
It's a catastrophe, nothing less.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Horrific tragedy.
This is Hillary Clinton,
and also here in Washington.
You don't understand. I'm not supposed to be here.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Stay Right. I'm your host, Doug Kuhn. Here we are, the day you thought would never come. Show number 64, Weaponize. Weaponize, that's right. What do I mean by that? Well, I kind of briefly touched on it in my return video that I posted about a week and a half ago. I feel that the Republican Party, and specifically leadership, has started to weaponize legislation, not to attack Democrats, but they've weaponized things like the budget and other pieces of legislation to attack conservatives within the party. They're trying to knock out conservatives like Ted Cruz in an election year. And this is going to stop. And what I'm about to say and what I'm about to start proposing is, I'm sure, like, I just came back. This is my first show back after almost 9 months being gone. I'm going to lose a lot of you. I know a lot of you are going to dismiss me outright without, you know, much thought. But please take some time and actually reflect on what I'm saying. We are going to have to stand up and make some hard choices and kick out some hard votes in order to fix this problem. But it doesn't start with just voting. It starts with the Republican Party. What are we going to do, and what is it that you need to do in order to get this message across to the Republican Party? The first thing that you need to do, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you are a GOP exodus person, you're somebody who was in the GOP and decided in protest because you were displeased with Donald Trump, because you were displeased with the mess that was the convention, and what was done to shut down the opposition voice when they were trying to change some of the rules, when they were trying to enable the closing of primaries. A lot of you decided that you were disgusted and it was time to leave the party and pursue outside representation. I am urging you, I am begging you, reconsider. I am begging you to re-register as a Republican. These people need to see that there is a strong and vibrant Republican GOP base, that we are there, that there are a lot of conservatives inside the Republican Party. The Republican Party platform is extremely conservative, but they are not putting up candidates. They are not backing and supporting candidates in the Republican establishment because they don't feel that anyone in the conservative side is actually going to support them when the time comes. They are going to push harder towards the middle. And if things continue the way they're going, they're going to continue moving to the center slightly left. And in some cases, they're going to move center left. And we have to stand strong. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder as conservatives inside the Republican Party and say, no, our demands must be met. Our voices must be heard. And if you leave, they're not going to give a flip what you want. They're going to look at you just the same way we look at Democrats. You have to be a part of the party to vote in the primary. If you are not a member of the party, reaching out to Republican groups and committees, they're not going to listen to you. Delegations are not going to listen to you. They're not going to care what you want. They're not going to care. And they're going to continue to try and lobby for the support of independents. And independents are not just displaced Republican conservatives. Independents are also the hardcore protectionist libertarians and a lot of people who have left the Democrat Party. There are a lot of different viewpoints in the independent movement in this country, in the independent political arena, where they're going to continue to stay in the center, to the center slightly left, in order to appease as many of the independents as possible. So if we get more Republicans to come back to the party, more conservative Republicans to come back to the party, they will not have to spend as much time and energy lobbying to them, lobbying to the broader group of independents that exist out there. And also, you need to have a voice. You need to have a voice in the primaries. You need to have a voice within the party. And if all the good conservatives leave, if all the conservatives leave, there will no longer be a need to appease conservatives in the party. Okay, and I think I've said that in 20 different ways in the last 2 minutes, but I really need you to understand that. You have to have a voice. If you do not, if you choose to throw your voice away, you will be represented by no one. And that's the problem. That's how Mitch McConnell has gotten to the position that he has gotten to. That's how he got this power, because conservatives have been cutting and running. And I really feel that this is the most misguided move that you could possibly make if you were a conservative. Okay. And this is my big stand. I've made this case on social media 1,000 times, and I'm going to continue to beat this drum on my show. Okay. I'm sure I lost a lot of you outright. A lot of you who think, you know, this Federalist Party thing is going to kick. The Federalist Party is nothing. It's going nowhere. Okay, it was corrupt and it was BS at its foundation. The people at the very top have proven that they have just as much capability to ignore their base, to ignore the people that are inside the party, as the Republican Party. They just don't have any power yet, so they haven't actually been able to make any large legislative faux pas because they don't hold office. Okay, they will let you down the same as everyone else. So why throw away your vote to a party that's going nowhere? The Constitution Party, all of these parties. If you were to combine every single third party that exists, every single third party that exists, you still would not have the sauce to stand up to the Republican Party, let alone the Democrat Party, which is larger than the Republican Party as far as people that are registered. Okay, there is no way. Even if you siphoned off 75% of Republicans, you were somehow capable of convincing 75% of Republicans and consolidated all third parties together, you still would not have enough sauce to stand up against the Democrat Party. You still would not have enough. We need to consolidate our power into one place. And the platform of the Republican Party is still very strong on the conservative side. And we need to convince leadership. We need to create new leadership, but we need to convince leadership that wants to keep their position of power, that they need to start listening to us and they need to start reading their own platform. They need to do what they said they were going to do to get elected. And this is going to bring me to the point that I'm going to make, that I'm sure I'm going to lose people over this. Okay. This is not safe. And nobody is out there saying this. This is probably one of the most volatile things I've ever said on this show. But I would rather, in 2020, which is Mitch McConnell's next election, I would rather you support the Democrat candidate that's running against him than vote for him. I would rather you do that. Registered Republican voting for a Democrat to unseat someone who is clearly in opposition to everything that the party stands for. We have to send a message to the GOP that no, we will not only will not vote for you, but we'll support your opponent if you do not start doing what we say. And this can start this year. This can start in 2018. There are a lot of folks, allies of Mitch McConnell, that are up for election this year that can be crushed in this way. We need to start picking them off one at a time, or in the case of an election, multiple at a time. We need to start picking them off. This is the same argument that we were making about not supporting Donald Trump. And in some ways, you know, because in the face of lack of evidence, there were a lot of things that Trump was saying that irritated some of us, scared some of us. And one of those issues is coming to light now that's really starting to bother me. And I'm going to talk about that. But we have to be willing to stand up and make the hard choices to not give the tantruming child what they want. Just because you're kicking and flailing in the middle of the grocery store on the ground because you want that candy bar doesn't mean that we have to just give it to you. Not only are you not going to get that candy bar, but we're going to take you home and we're going to swat you on the butt. We're going to pull you out of the store. We're going to go home and you're going to get swat on the butt. And that's what needs to happen to the Republican Party. It is getting worse. It is getting worse. And everyone keeps saying, well, I left the GOP because it just keeps getting worse every year. It gets worse and worse. Like, well, what are you doing about it? Were you leaving? You're just going to walk away? You're going to say, well, you upset me for the last time. I no longer want a voice. I no longer want you to be in a position to have to listen to me. I want to get the band back together. I want Stay Right and the National Conservative Coalition, which is connected at this time. I'm trying to revitalize the NCC. Any of you who are interested in participating in what I'm about to propose, contact me at stayright.usa@gmail.com, stayright.usa@gmail.com. I want to turn the National Conservative Coalition into a PAC. And at first, we're not going to be seeking out money for advertisements. I just want to grow in size first. I want to get as many people involved to recruit as many people as possible. And the NCC needs to be specifically Republican people, Republicans, registered GOP people that are willing to stand up and say, look, I am a Republican. I am a registered Republican. I have a voice. I want a voice. You have to listen to me. Now, when I say I want you to be a Republican and support the GOP, that does not mean that I want you to give them money. In fact, I want you to not give them money. You need to stop right away. If you are funding the GOP, if you are giving them money, you need to immediately stop until our demands are met. We have to be heard. Our voices have to be heard. If you are a Never Trump person, you need to get over it. The election is over. If you want to make change, if you want to fix this problem, we have to work together. We have to work together, and we have to convince the people that are blindly, and I say blindly, on the Trump train, we need to convince them to hold him to a higher standard. No, Trump is not some genius. He is not a political genius. As Ben Shapiro puts it, he's not playing upside down, underwater, 4D, MAGA chess. Okay, he's not. Okay, he's pretty smart, and he has made some really positive moves, and I've been very pleased with some of the reforms that he's made and some of the choices that he's made. I've been very pleased, and I've been public about it. I have praised him on social media. Several other folks that I really admire and follow, they have been public about it, that it's been a surprise to us, a lot of the things that he has done. But he is also making a lot of mistakes. DACA, his support of the ridiculous BS repeal of Obamacare, which never really happened. Now it appears as though he's flipping course on gun control. And that's not to say that he is completely on the Democrat side of gun control, because he's not. He is not calling for an all-out assault weapons ban. But what he's doing is just as dangerous. What he is doing is opening a door, a Pandora's box, if you will. He is opening a door that will be abused by the left. It will be abused by the left. And he cannot be allowed to move forward on this. And if you are a Trump-trained person, if you are an avid Trump supporter, you need to be opposed to this. He needs to see that you are opposed to this. He is talking about subverting due process to take guns away from people. Now, I am all for mental health reform in this country. I am all for the revitalization of state mental institutions and involuntary committing of people that are a danger to themselves and society. Absolutely. It needs to change. It needs to go back to the way it used to be. I agree with Trump on that. But Trump has been public and has now come out publicly and said that he supports the subversion of due process. Taking away firearms first, due process second. And this is so dangerous. This is so toxic. And this is not the first time we've heard this. We heard this during the election as well. This is one of the things, one of the biggest reasons I did not support him. Okay. One of the biggest reasons that I was slamming Trump during the election cycle was over what I called backdoor gun control. What is backdoor gun control? Backdoor gun control is finding a way to enable the confiscation or prevention of acquiring a firearm without any sort of due process of law. which means that whomever is in power today will have the ability to pick and choose who can and cannot purchase a firearm. And this statement that's been made by Trump, right? Confiscate first, due process second. This is a huge Pandora's box that is being opened that the left will get control of at some point and they will abuse. And this is backdoor gun control. This is the backdoor subversion of the Second Amendment. Okay. And it's going to become a problem the same way DACA is going to become a problem. People are ignoring the fact that, DACA was originally supposed to be for registered illegals that were here by through no fault of their own, right? The children that were brought in by illegal immigrant parents, and they were supposed to register to be given legal status, never citizenship, legal status. So they can continue to be here and come out of the shadows, use real social security numbers and whatnot, stop manipulating and abusing our system and breaking the law. It was supposed to be a compromise, and a lot of us swallowed it. We didn't agree with it because it didn't come from the legislature. It came from the executive branch, which is unconstitutional. That's what's unconstitutional about it. Okay. If the legislature decided to pass some law and do it, that would have been one thing. And we may have disagreed with it, but at least it would have been done the right way. But it was done through the executive branch. And so a lot of people, when they argue with you about DACA, you need to remember it's not just of what they did, it's how it was done that was the problem. Okay. It's not just what, but it was how. The how was that the president of the United States, through an executive order, is not allowed to legislate. And that's what he did. Okay. And that's why this issue has come up today. So when you're arguing with your leftist friends, the issue is that Congress needs to do something. Everyone keeps, and media keeps putting it back on Trump. Oh, it's on Trump. It's on Trump. It's not on Trump. The whole issue is that it's not supposed to be up to the executive branch. This is legislation. This needs to be done by Congress. Congress needs to decide what they're going to do. Are you going to continue allowing this? Are you going to write some law that allows this to happen? Or are you going to stop, shut it down, give a one-time pass, and move forward? But the problem with Trump is that they're proposing, well, no, instead of that, we'll just give them all citizenship or a path to citizenship, not just legal status. So it went from, you know, 600-something thousand, 700,000 to 1.8 million and up. That's a guesstimate. It's just a guesstimate. And then not only that, they say we're going to end chain migration. However, immediate family is going to be okay. You're going to be able to use sort of a chain migration light to get your immediate family members in, right? So all you would have to do theoretically is create some sort of a forged document from whatever country you're coming from saying that your cousin is your brother. That's all you'd have to do. It's actually significantly easier to do something like that than to fake a social security card or number, which they've been doing for years. And I'm not just talking about Mexicans, okay? I'm talking about all of them. Folks from Europe, folks from further South America, Guatemala, all of these people. You know, Irish exchange students and, you know, Viennese exchange students, people from all over Europe, people from all over Asia, the people that come here and overstay and subvert the system and acquire false identities, false social security numbers, so they're able to stay and continue functioning in society. All of these people are going to be manipulating this system. Okay, this is bad. This is something that you need to oppose. And I don't care if you like Trump, you think that, oh, well, he's giving them an offer and forcing them to refuse it. It's a dangerous game. And it's one that didn't need to be played. He needed to sit back and keep his mouth shut and let Congress deal with this, because it's not up to the president. It's up to him to veto it if the time comes. He can propose something to them. But it's like you're at the finish line and you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because that 1.8 million could quickly turn into 7+ million people. 7+ million people. Most of these households average 4 to 6 people per household. So if one of them is given status, you potentially have 4 to 5 more people that could be attached to that. What's 1.8 times 4 or 5? This could quickly become a problem. Just like this backdoor gun control thing can become a problem. And the issue is they are trying to appease the center. The Republican Party, they are trying to appease the independent vote. They are trying to appeal to the independents that are out there. That's where this is coming from. That's where DACA is coming from. That's where this backdoor gun control debate is coming from. They're scared. This is what happens all the time. This is what happened when George W. Bush was president, right? They're trying to appease, you know, this group over here, you know, which is, in my opinion, one of the biggest issues with politics in general. I think it's racist. The constant segregation and separation of subgroups inside of a party, right? The Democrats are the worst at it, but the Republicans are playing along. And they're doing it too, as if that's going to help anything. But we're supposed to be the enlightened side. We're the ones that are supposed to get that doing that is racist. We are all Americans. What, you think because you're black that you have different hopes and aspirations for life? That if you're Mexican or Japanese, that you want different things out of life? We don't. We want the same stuff. We want the same things. We want the same opportunities as everybody. Why? Why is it that we are allowing ourselves to continuously being divided into these groups? And now this huge GOP exodus movement that has split off and become this independent movement has put all of these votes up for grabs. And so it's a race to the middle. It's a race to the middle. The Republican Party, the Democrat Party, it's going to be a race to the middle to grab as many of those votes as possible. If you want a strong, vibrant, conservative movement within the Republican Party, the answer is to come back to the Republican Party, not give them your money, but tell them, if you support these things, you will have my vote. If you don't support these things, I not only will not vote for you, I will support your opposition just to make sure that you don't get in. I will do the hard thing. Mitch McConnell in 2020, when he comes up for re-election, you need to support his opposition, even if they are the scum of the earth. We have to send a message to the Republican establishment that enough is enough. Your time is up. What's going to happen? Well, then we'll have, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's of the Democrat Party in charge. They're already in charge. Mitch McConnell is a spineless cow. I know that Nancy Pelosi is in the House. Okay. We'll have the Chuck Schumers. We'll have the Chuck Schumers running the party. He's already running Congress. They're running Congress from a minority position. Look at what the establishment Republican leadership is doing. They're knuckling under. They're enabling every single thing. It doesn't matter who's in charge. They're doing it already. That's why we have to get rid of Mitch McConnell. That's why we have to send a message to the Republican Party that enough is enough. We need to replace them. You need to be registered to vote in some of these states so that you can support their opponent. And if you're not able to primary them out, you need to support the person who opposes them in the other party to get rid of them, to send a message. Stop giving us these spineless cowards that are not willing to stand up and fight, that are too concerned about their own future within the party. This has become a problem. Because Mitch McConnell has weaponized legislation like this budget in an election year to attack conservatives. Ted Cruz tried to get the legislation separated, tried to get the funding separated for Hurricane Harvey. He tried to block funding from going to Planned Parenthood on several occasions. But Mitch McConnell knew that he could weaponize the budget to force Ted Cruz and others into a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. He has to go. This is scum. This is the biggest problem. It's a bigger problem than Chuck Schumer. It's a bigger problem than Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is a scumbag, okay? Chuck Schumer is a radical leftist, and he knows what he is. He doesn't give a flip about his constituency. He doesn't care about the American people. He maybe thinks what he's doing is right, but I don't think he's evil. I think he believes that what he's doing is right. But that doesn't mean he's not scum. That doesn't mean that his actions are not directly in opposition to the Constitution, directly in opposition to freedom in general. Ben Shapiro pointed out that, you know, a really good, like a solid difference between what is it to be left and what is it to be right. Conservatives believe that in the face of conflict, right, the individual rights of people are more important than what is in the interest of the collective. The individual rights should trump collectivism. And the left believes that collectivism should trump individual rights. It's a very simple concept. And in some cases, things might be a little different. You know, there might be a variation here and there. But I think that's a pretty good description. And the problem is that many cases, the left is willing to walk all over individual rights for some collective, some perceived collective good. And this is something that this gun rights issue, this backdoor gun control, as I call it, in from Trump's perspective, is the collective trumping individual rights. This is the side of this argument that Trump is finding himself on, saying that, yes, because you are crying louder, you are the squeakiest wheel today, and I'm in front of you today, I'm going to give you what you want, rather than focusing on enabling and empowering individuals. I am for the subversion of due process of law to take your firearms first. Then we'll give you due process after due process has already been subverted. It's disgusting, and it's got to stop. Do we have options? Do we have things, you know, moving forward from here to make some changes? Yes, we need to stand up. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder, and we need to tell these people enough is enough, that your time has come. You know, you've had your day in the sun, but it's over. What are we going to do? What can we do? We need to lobby leadership in our state leadership within the Republican Party. We need to make closing the primaries to Republicans only nationally a priority, a huge thing. And I think something to immediately, this will take time to get it done, but something that would stop the weaponization of legislation by leadership is we need to start separating these bills. If it's not important enough of a bill to vote on, if it's not important enough of a spending measure in the budget to have a vote on it individually, it's not important enough to get taxpayer dollars. It's our money. That's not their money. That's our money. And if they're not willing to have a debate and vote on each of these things individually on their own merits, it doesn't belong in the budget. There's a lot of things like this that we can do. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to get into more detail. I wanted this to sort of be a broad picture. I wanted it to be sort of like a look, these are the things coming up. I'm going to get into detail on each of these individual topics over the coming weeks. But I wanted to let you know that they're weaponizing. We need to weaponize our vote. So tune back in next week. I'm going to have another show. Show number 65 is coming. Don't forget, folks, stay right.